Truth.
The greatest form of control is where you think you're free when you're being fundamentally manipulated and dictated. One form of dictatorship is being in a prison cell and you can see the bars and touch it. The other one is sitting in a prison cell but you can't see the bar. You think you're free. What the human race is suffering from is mass hypnosis. We are being hypnotized by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers. We are in a country and in a world that is being run by unbelievably sick people. The chasm between what we're told is going on and what is really going on is absolutely enormous.
And yes, you are tuned in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore TV show. And as always, I'm your host, V. And I know my show, I've sort of dilly-dallied with the show. I've got other TV projects going. There's so many other projects. You know, same old story, right? So, the thing is, I like to have a little bit of variation. I know there were other target individual TV shows, like Techno Crime Fighters and you know, a couple of other things that people said the shows got stagnant and it just became repetitive and whatnot. But yes, I'm here to expose government targeting, corporate targeting of people, and there's just limited aspect of what target individual is as far as the terminology. But psychological warfare is what I expose. This is what's all about, what my show is all about. If you're a regular viewer, you know this. If you're just seeing this, then, well, yeah, that's what the show is about. So, the psychological warfare and breaking down of mind control, that's, I can't do anything else. I do have a lot of people that ask me about Palestine. What do I think about what's going on in Palestine? Palestine is Palestine. People ask me about politics around the world. And a lot of people don't like my answers because I break it down to a level that it's so simple. And they're offended because it's so simple. Or ashamed or hurt that it's so simple. And there's nothing they can do about it. Politics is, you know, the Tea Party for the military-industrial complex. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It's just psychological warfare, and then there's physical warfare. And so, I have on with me today, Michael Farah. Or sorry, should I say Mike Farah? Am I saying
Mike, that correctly? Mike's just fine. Fella. Actually means happiness. In Arabic, which is ironic given the ongoing diaspora Nakba of the Palestinian people, which were actually the first of the 12 tribes originated from Mesopotamia, the forefathers of the Celts, which migrated right across the continent through to Europe, through to Britain, and even transfer agreement, which allowed for the migration of Jewish people to Palestine at the time. There are actually coins commemorating their partnership, and Nazi stands for National Zionism. That's what it actually stands for. But of course that's hidden history, and history is written by the victors. And it wasn't Hitler that lost the Second World War. The Zionists won it because through Operation Paperclip, all the key Nazis were picked up by the Americans. They didn't get prosecuted for war crimes. They were taken over to America, where they experts in mind control ultra. I think it was Goebbels who has that phrase, isn't it? The more we inflict on you, the less you can believe that we're doing it to you. I myself have actually suffered torture in this lifetime, and I could well believe it, because your head goes, when you're in a certain amount of pain, your body has a way of cutting you off, you astral project, so to speak. And I certainly did that when I was at my most excruciating points in pain and agony.
So yeah. You are a journalist. I want to know, tell me more about your background, your history, what you do. And then we'll get into the politics.
Yeah, my father was actually Palestinian. They ran the orange business. I've had a family reunion. One of the disadvantages of being Palestinian, of course, is there's a huge refugee population. We represent one of the largest refugee populations in the world. I think it's about 12 million. Many of those, of course, a lot of those are in Gaza right now, suffering the entering its 12th year of barbaric siege. We'll talk about that, I hope, because that's something I want to talk about very much in this interview. Something that people must know about, because really what's happening in Palestine today is like a canary in the mine. It's it will happen tomorrow across the rest of the world. Everything that happens in Gaza, weapon testing, psychological warfare, you name it, biological warfare, is tested on the shop window of the lab rats of Gaza. But I'll tell you again about my family. They have the orange business. Everything was
stolen. Let me stop you there.
Yeah.
This is only an hour show. Which is really 2 25-minute segments. I just want you to go into your education, your what you do, and then your passion. Go from there.
My education. My parents wanted me to have very good education. I was actually brought up in a very affluent Barbara, probably the closest in Beverly Hills in Britain. The Beatles and a lot of the rock stars used to live quite close by. It's a place called Weybridge in Surrey. Irony of history is that in 1649, the golf course in their luxury pads was actually the first incidence of socialism in 1649 after the English Civil War. Billy Bragg, a folk singer who did Arla Guthrie's tapes after he died, helping part of the police peace garden in Weybridge when we were in C&D. I've been active in a lot of groups. But Weybridge is the Beverly Hills of England, but it's also the birthplace of socialism, because the diggers in 1649, after the Civil War, went up to St. George's Hills and they had a commune. And of course, like many revolutions, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, they got turfed out. The revolution wasn't realised by the people, it was realised by another elite, a bit like the Trump-Clinton affair. This isn't anything new. He's no messiah. He is the deep state. This is just a mafioso fight going on in between the two bosses. This is infighting. This ain't going to save the world. This is going to save the elite. This is a nest of vipers fighting for who's going to eat the rest of the babies. So I had a public education in a private school, and learned that private schools produce a lot of abusive, overprivileged people. I flunked out. I went back as a mature student. I did horticulture, didn't want to get into the military industrial complex. So I thought I'd get into growing things. Was politicized when I used to live on a hippie commune. Got involved in C&D, which is a campaign for nuclear disarmament, around about the time when Reagan wants to deploy his cruise missiles against Russia. Greenham Common women, world famous women who stopped the missiles. Been arrested several times, loads of times on demonstrations. Sued the MOD, got £11,000 out of them for being arrested. Took the government to court over the poll tax, which was a tax on the poor in this country, which is Thatcher, was in power. We won concessions there. We get thousands of people out of jail. We monkey wrench the system. During all that time, I kept down a job teaching special needs horticulture. I did that for 10 years. And when I wasn't teaching the horticulture during the day, I was driving down to Greenham Common to chase cruise missiles around the British countryside, and to make sure the people of Britain knew that nuclear weapons were being driven through their village in the dead of night. So we used to create a stink. After that, I wanted to get into nature conservation, so I went to Marieswood Agricultural College. I did a degree, I got a distinction in the degree, ended up working at the other way, taught thousands of kids about the environment and people about the environment, and also planted lots of woodland in my spare time, and was politically active in Greenpeace, Nelson Mandela. Interesting about Nelson Mandela, because the politicians in this country, the Tory party in particular, Theresa May just went over to South Africa because she's trying to drum up business after Brexit. And of course the Tory party are now kissing Nelson Mandela's arse, when in fact at the time they were calling for him to be hung as a terrorist. It just shows you how fickle politics is. They're never around when you need them. But as soon as you score a victory, they'll claim the credit. And that's the nature of politics. So,
you know what? I've been warned about this. Now I know what it's like to interview a writer. Especially a writer for, who do you write? You do production or writing for television now.
I'm working with Ariana Love. She is actually one of the directors of the Liberty Beacon. She's one
Who that is, but
editor of Middle East Rising and Occupy Palestine.
Okay,
we're co-writing the chronicling the Great Return March, and we'll put those articles in there. And I'm also, we've written three articles so far. One with, which is, it's called, The Future Belongs to Palestine, is the whole, set of articles. So it's basically chronicling the history, because, short-term pessimist but long-term optimist. There is no doubt that Palestine will prevail. The future of all humankind will be decided on the fate of Palestine. Make no mistake, they are testing the water, and at the moment they feel emboldened because they have the Zionist puppet who is so grateful to have been bailed out of all his bankruptcies. The likes of Edelson said to him, I'll fund your campaign, we'll get you into power. The military said, we want you in power, otherwise we're going to have a coup. So he triples the military industrial complex. That feeds the Rothschild banking cartels, which make tremendous banks per buck off the killing that they make of the military industrial complex, which is focused on Israel. Israel is in fact created as the whole raison d'etre for the creation there are a lot of people, all this nonsense and myth about the promised land and this and the other. Well, let me tell you, that hurts all the Zionists. Zionists, 100% atheists, okay? Never want to take up a good myth if it serves their purpose. The Rothschilds, Jewish people, they started off in the 17th century, four brothers, they got their fortune, Battle of Waterloo is a classic example. They funded every side of every war. One of the brothers was funding Napoleon, one of the brothers was funding the English, Wellington. After the fall of Napoleon, Waterloo sends his envoy over, makes out they lost the Battle of Waterloo, so he was short-sold in the morning. Closed a market, he made a killing because the bonds were cheap. That's how he got the Bank of England, that's how he got the Federal Reserve, etc., etc. The rest is history. The only countries left without a Federal Reserve Bank happen to be the ones we want to invade. Iran, North Korea, Syria, etc., etc.
All the bad people who are terrorists, right?
Fighters.
Well, hey, but let me stop you one second. We're going to take a pause in the room. Hello, I'm V from the Redpill Hardcore TV show, and I'm here to deliver a message to you. I am standing up, and I think you guys should stand up too. What are we standing up for? Clean air. The New World governments have been spraying aluminum, strontium, barium, all kinds of nanoparticulates, salts, heavy metals, and we are losing our environment. We have trees with aluminum toxicity. Our wildlife is disappearing, one species at a time. We have weather warfare weaponry. If there is anything such as global warming, well, we have ionospheric heaters that's dramatically bombarding our atmosphere. All this damage can be done to the environment by these nanoparticulates being sprayed into the atmosphere. We know that it's causing respiratory issues. We know that it's causing autism. We know that it's causing Morgellons, the transhumanistic disease. What else is it doing? I think it may just be altering our minds. Watch my movie, and then you decide.
Hello, my name is V. I'm the host of the Red Pill Hardcore TV show, Family Case Files TV show, Infotainment Tonight, and Targeted. And I want to let you guys know about the new TV network, Truthtainment TV Network, which you can find all these wonderful programs on. And even an added bonus, my documentary series, you can find there. The Targeted documentary series, as a matter of fact. I want you guys to please subscribe to our new TV network. And yes, we are still with the Liberty Beacon Television Network as well. So check those guys out too at 2LBTV.com. Thank you.
Everybody, this is right here in the Del Paso Heights. Nephew, just listen.
I want to move.
No, you got to stay right here.
I can't.
Hey, why are you doing him like that? Wait, Alexis. Alexis, why?
I'm going right here, Naomi. Get out.
Oh, my God.
You can't be paid for me like
that. Hey, why are you beating him like that? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He beat him like that. Oh, Jesus. I've seen this, Lord. Oh, yeah, he's breaking his arm. Oh, my God, why'd you take him down like that? Oh, my God. No, that was wrong.
I just got off work.
He just got off work.
You're going to be hearing from my lawyer and my boss.
Why did you take him down like that, though, sir? That wasn't right. He yelled at that. He took him down like that, though. For real. Oh, my God. For no reason. Oh, my God. And that policeman was harassing him. Look at all of this.
Yeah.
Look at all this. He beat him up for no reason.
My soul is alive. You can't kill my pride. You can't kill my soul. No nothing.
And he didn't have nothing on him, though. Nothing.
What's that? I look both ways. But no cars in the street. I'm a grown man. I know how to cross.
He walking.
Let's get back with the show here. So, yeah, I love that you mentioned that all these states that are not going with the New World Order program, yeah, they're somehow terrorists or somehow evil, and they're just trying to defend themselves. Now, I'm not going to say North Korea has the best political, social, or free society. Everyone's country is a little different, but they have the right to their own sovereignty. They should be their own country. Iran should be their own country. Australia should be their own country. You don't have to be a part of the Five Eyes. You don't have to fall to the globalists. One thing I did like about Trump was talking about nationalism again. The idea of being an American and not having to kowtow and have so much foreign influence and control and interest.
Everything in America is, I told you about Operation Paperclip, where they picked all the Nazis out and took them out of Hitler.
Everyone notices that at some point.
Yeah. Iron lock, stock and barrel by obviously the Federal Reserve is the key. Everyone who wants to abolish the Federal Reserve in America ends up being assassinated. It's like Gaddafi when he comes out and wants to trade oil in the African gold credit dinar. You're signing a death warrant. We're dealing with the Fourth Reich in America. I mean, even the insignia is big time Fourth Reich.
I'll tell you right there, and I am a historian. And the further you go back, the more obscure things are, but there's a lot of stolen culture, and that's what this is all about. And maybe I can offer something for you to learn. But and this is why I have you on the show. If people want to ask me again all the time about my ideas about what's going on in Palestine, and it's the PSYOP. Here's the PSYOP. You have these, what I call, you know, you can call me racist, you can call me whatever you want. We all know it's not the case for anyone who actually knows me, but what we have right now are the white Jews. We have the white Jews that are occupying. Hold on. What we have are the white Jews that are trying to do this occupation and claim everything because, why? The Bible says such and such and such and such. They're trying to claim the rights of something that doesn't belong to them. They're trying to hijack prophecy. And they're trying to have everyone bow down to the mind control religion. And there's just every aspect of it. Now, anyone who actually does their history studies, talks to a genealogist, will tell you the oldest tribe of Judah that still lives today in Africa, they're darker than me. Okay? Now, the whole promised land and everything will be right with the world when the Israelites return back to Israel. Okay? That, we're almost an eradicated and a disenfranchised people. Okay? When all this evil and corruption putters out, when the world comes back to its equalization, and we can be where we want to be, where we were born, back to our homeland, our promised land, well, I mean, that's when you know. But again, this is the PSYOP. The whole thing with Nazi Germany and the killing of, the impossible killing of 6 million Jews, and it's all a setup. You know, the Rothschilds, the wheels turning for 200 years now, right? You don't think they socially engineered this to happen? Now, you have these the dark minded people who, you know, that's why they call it the synagogue and Satan, okay? Ritualistic sacrifice, that's nothing. When you are a powerful person of this ethnic type, one, you don't want competition, you don't want to share any resources, you don't want to have to play the name game, so what you do, you sacrifice up some of your own people for power, okay?
But
Albert Pike. Now I want to tie this in. Albert Pike, Mr. God of Lucifer, Prophet, Lucifer Jr., whatever you want to call him, the Freemason, so-called general, master, whatever grand, pretentious title he had. His plans for the future are still being rolled out today, okay?
Yeah. Okay? He even talked about the First and Second World War, I believe, didn't he? Even there was some writings about the First and Second World Wars. Because one of the reasons, of course, why Hitler managed to capitalize on the anti-Jew material was because the Rothschilds said to the British government halfway in the middle of the First World War, they fought themselves to a standstill. Both sides were going to put their toys back in the pram, take them back to pre-war borders. Bear in mind, this is another interesting thing, there were bullets made here in Birmingham that were sold to feed the during the First World War. Not many people know that either. But that's how crazy, this is the military-industrial economic complex that worked through the Rothschild banking system for you, because wars need banks to operate. That's why you've got Switzerland, the sisters of ISIS, as it's known, the neutral banking system, because they can funnel money through. That's the reason for Israel's creation, which I want to actually explain fully, because people must understand this, why it was really created. I'll explain this bit about the First World War first. So basically the Rothschilds said to the British government, don't have an armistice. This was halfway through, 2 years in. Don't have an armistice, don't have a peace. We can bring the Americans in, because what we'll do is get the Jews to lobby against the Germans, boycott the Germans, that you do right now, and Israel was terrified of the boycott, because it's already in South Africa, but they were doing it themselves, and they know the power of the boycott. So they boycotted Germany, what have you, and they had signs up or whatever, boycott Germany. Churchill also was Admiralty at the time, head of the Admiralty. There was a load of people called the Lusitania, an American ship, traveling back with loads of Americans on board. His aide said, should we protect them, because they're sailing through the German exclusion zone. They said, anything will sail through there, we're going to sink. Churchill said, nah, we won't protect them. So of course it got torpedoed. Loads of Americans went down with the Lusitania. The Jews were boycotting and lobbying to get America to the First World War. That's what happened. That's what sowed the seeds for the hatred and the dissent within Germany that allowed Hitler to capitalize on the anti-Jew hatred. But also extended the First World War for another couple of years, and the cannon fodder and the mayhem and the deaths of all those beautiful people as a result, because every war is a rich man's war. So let me just take you back to the birth of Zionism, Herzl. To Israel today, being the largest center for money laundering in the world, the largest tax haven in the world, the largest arms dealer testing workshop in the world, on the land rents of places like Gaza and West Bank, center for organ stealing, and so over 20,000 children are sex trafficked through there every year. Drugs, you name it. That's why you got all your dual citizens. Because they've got a lot of little tax haven. That's why they go over and touch that wall. And they also go to the Vatican, they go to Israel and back again. But what it was, Rothschild said, I cannot. Who controls, who makes the rules? All I care about is who controls the money supply. Then a little light bulb went off in his head, and he thought, aha, if I have my own state, I can both make the laws and control the money supply. Along comes Zionism, which wants their own land, which at one time were considering places like Brazil and Africa as possible places for a homeland for these so-called chosen people. If ever there was a fascist ideology, there you have it. And so Rothschild hooked up the movement of Zionism, the payoff for the First World War, bringing the Americans in, was the Balfour betrayal of 1917, which betrayed my people, the Palestinian people, to the Jews, which gave away a country which they didn't own, which was not a people, which was not a land without a people, for a people without a land. It was well inhabited by the Palestinians, which go back to Ptolemy, maps of Palestine, go back way back. I told you how far the Palestinians go back to. They're the fathers of the Celts, is where the Yud, the guitar, comes from. All Palestinian culture. And that is precisely why Israel exists today, to make money. It makes money to the tune of getting $38 billion from the American taxpayer into the coffers. It makes money for the military industrial complex of that $38 billion, because with the taxpayers' money that goes to Israel. offer America, which then pays back to the Rothschild banking cartel's beautiful little circle, and it's linked in with Britain. Britain's got a company, for instance, we sell arms to Israel, and we've got a company called G4S. It's like a privatized army. G4S trained the, I call them the IOF, Israel Offense Force, not Defense Force, the Israel Offense Mobsters, for the Mafia Mobsters. We train them. We also train your cops, the IOF train the American cops. Ever since the IOF, or the IDF is their name for it, have been training the American cops, you've seen a spike in the number of cop shootings. No coincidence there. This is why I say, within the Palestinian psyche, when they were thrown out through terror, Menachem Begin was asked, are you the father of terrorists in the Middle East? Because don't forget, Israel was founded on terror when they blew up the King David's Hotel, blowing up many Jewish people, many British people, many Arab people. They were dressed as Arabs, first false flag, and never mind 9/11, and the 5,000 who died from Israeli agents who sent the film the event on record of saying they were doing that too. One of the first false flags was King David Hotel, they were dressed as Arabs. And he was asked, are you the father in the Middle East of terror? He said, father of the world of terror. By deception, do war, Assad's motto. And virtually every false flag going now, I mean, liberty, even Suez Canal was false flagging.
Absolutely.
So please, this myth that and bear in mind, they wrote the Bibles, and they wrote the Talmud, they wrote the history, all this nonsense about it being written into it. The Bible has been rewritten that many times, it's worthless as a document, and it's been Zionist Jewish Freemasons who wrote it, who created Wahhabism, which is the extreme form of terror that they use. Church was great friends with the Saudis, who were quasi-Jew Quislings. They were the biggest bunch of brigands in the Middle East going. They just happened to be sitting around this oil-rich area. So after the First World War, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, when they sold Lawrence Arabia down the river along with the Palestinians, when the British said to Lawrence, go and tell them, rise up on our side, fight against the Turks, we'll give them their own country, King Faisal fought against, on the British side, with Lawrence, T.O. Lawrence, who was an honorary Arab. He, unbeknown to him, there was a deal going on between the French and the British, Sykes-Picot Agreement, they call it. And after the First World War, of course, the Arabs didn't get what their autonomy. It became under British mandate. If you look at all the maps of the Middle East to this day, are Sykes-Picot maps. Straight lines. So they carved up the whole of the Middle East and the African peninsula to oil-friendly little places, creating little oligarchs like Saudi Arabia. And in order for Saudi Arabia to be able to rule, they suggested, under the Jesuits' know-how, that they introduce a form of Wahhabism, that the most radical form of Islam that's ever going, because Islam is fundamentally love and peace. There's nothing in Islam that says holy war and this, that, and the other. It's actually a very reasonable religion, very peaceful. And it's, I suggest people read the Quran. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work, and it's got nothing to do with terrorism. Most of the people who work for ISIS and all the rest of them don't even realize that they're simply assets of the CIA, Mossad, MI5, axis of evil. They don't even realize it.
So, yeah, I mean, in the last 100 years, the thing about mankind that has progressed infinitely better than everything else is not our knowledge, not our technology, but our banking system. Banking system, global, it supported, and now it's robbing,
an entire globe is disenfranchising and it's money, it's enslaving people. It's the whole ideology of this intangible resource that's not really a resource, but these tickets, you know, proof of ownership of your master, and everything that falls behind that. The next thing that grew is warfare. And the warfare grows continuously, and there's so much death and genocide, and we have mainstream media that wants you to pay attention to what the Kardashians are doing. I've never... They're literally... It's like a slaughterhouse. I mean, you put the chickens in their own cages. They all have separate cages. They're all lined up ready to get slaughtered. Nobody can see anything that's going on as the slaughter keeps happening, coming their way. Everyone's content and not wanting to do anything about the world because they, again, have a wife of the family. And people need to understand, you can still have your wife, your family, your gadgets and everything, still have a revolution. As a matter of fact, you have more of it. You have more land. You have more freedom. And it's time for us to wake up to that. So, to your next point, yes, I believe Islam is a beautiful religion. I believe all our current religions are beautiful. It's just the fact that we don't follow our religions to the T. Everyone wants to use religion for corrupt or political agenda, which destroys religion.
One of the key things, you were talking about the evolution of banking systems, it was Nimrod, wasn't it? His wife, Ishtar, was his wife, Easter. That's where the eggs come from, because she had sex with her son, told everybody it was the god she had sex with, and she still had found the egg in the river, and so we had these Ishtar eggs, Easter eggs, the pagan. Nimrod, his birthday. In some religions, he's regarded as Lucifer's birthday, but the 25th of December is, in fact, the celebration of the banking system, because it was her who introduced interest and quantitative easing, Ishtar, on the 25th of December. So in actual fact, let's talk about this mind control. What is Christmas? It's the biggest capitalist fest going. And it would actually celebrate the person who invented interest. Now, why is it we've got this war against Islam? Islam does not believe in usury. It was Christ who threw the money lenders out of the temple. Now, before we invaded before we invaded Libya, it's worth reminding ourselves, you had interest-free loans, you had free electricity. If you were getting married, you had a grant of £5,000. If you wanted to go and green the desert, you had a further grant. And if you wanted an education, you could be provided education for free in Libya, they would fund you to go abroad and get educated. What has America, Britain, the axis of evil, done to Libya now? Turned it into a basket case where all of a sudden, rolling out of Libya, there's also a slave trade now live at one in Libya.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, they're bombing, and Libya is mostly a Christian nation. A lot of those areas are mostly Christian nations, actually. But they're bombing all these people to give them democracy and freedom.
Yes, yeah.
Somebody signed up for the bomb.
To get a boat and try and flee for a better life for their family. We call them dirty refugees. They close the borders on them, so they're not really chasing after our jobs or our quality of life. They're escaping our bombs.
So we're closing down to the end of the show. So I want to get into what you're doing currently. Because I assume that you go there, you talk to people, and I also want to know what your solutions are. If you've got plans for the future, what's the future look like for you in Palestine?
Well, the first one, fundamental to the Palestinian psyche, when they left their homes, they took their key with them, the key to their homes. Resolution 194, we've seen the Great March of Return, and this is why I'm currently chronicling it with Ariana Love through Occupy Palestine TV. I also am spokesperson for Worldwide Resistance German charity. I'll send you the links. Please look it up. We're desperate for funds. We're trying to raise a crisis medical fund because the hospitals have nothing. They're overwhelmed with casualties. There have been 171 fatalities, which include children, the disabled, medics, journalists, women, old and young, men, old and young. All of them were unarmed. Many of them were 700, 800 yards away from the separation fence. I won't call it a border because Israel has not declared any borders. One of the conditions of Israel's acceptance into the United Nations was that it accepted under Resolution 194 the Palestinian right of return, which is inalienable. It is the sacred key that will unlock the door to global peace. When they are granted the right to return, I believe it has to now be under a one-state solution with universal rights for all and compensation and reconciliation, much like they had in South Africa. Native Jews born since the Nakba of 1948 will be given citizenship. Those are imported. I find it ironic that I, as a descendant of a Palestinian, am likely to not actually even get entry, given my internet record and my writings, into my homeland, my native homeland. But a Jew from Brooklyn, who's got absolutely no historical links to the Holy Land, will be given dual nationality and will be funded by the American tax dollars to live there free, have free education, free housing, and grant funding to actually go and settle in the occupied territories, which are illegal under international law as well. Going back to what I am doing, I'm doing the articles for chronicling the history of the Great March Return. It's called The Future Belongs to Palestine. Check it out, Occupy Palestine TV. I'm writing it to co-authoring it with Ariana Love. We're hoping to go to Gaza shortly. And we'll be spreading the message there. We've got some projects coming up where we want to train citizen journalists from Gaza to get a route out for people from Gaza to come and train in the ways to give them some respite. WWR, Worldwide Resistance, has several projects. We've got a sustainable project, which is the Bread of Life project, which are bread ovens which can be created from the clay of Gaza, and they with each one of these ovens, they cost 25 euros. They're made in Gaza by people in Gaza, and with each one of these, we give a bag of flour, and they can make bread, and they can eat corporations, incidentally, all of which are Zionist, and the media, all the media is controlled by Zionists, Zionist owned companies. 97% of the total global media, whether it's your local fishing, hunting and fishing magazine, your local paper advertising you and buy this jumble sale, to your Times, your Washington Post, to your Telegraphs, whatever, it's all owned by the Rothschilds. Reuters was brought out by the Rothschilds ages ago. Rothschilds don't even appear on the rich list because they publish it. But their estimated worth is 500 trillion and counting. Okay? So, if I had a magic wand tonight, what I would do is I'd round up all these gangsters, these mobsters. The worst of all would end up in Guantanamo Bay. I'm sure we could get Cuba on our side, give it the right time, the right place. And we have free pay-per-view 24/7, Big Brother in the house, so to speak, so that people can see, we can see Mr. Rothschild and Trump, and they're doing a bit of gardening, cleaning the ship, it's out, the rest of it. The worst thing of punishment those people would have is an execution, have their wealth taken away from them. Feed the poor with it. Feed the people that they robbed in the first place with it. Right? Give everybody a decent way of life, because we have the technology to basically live as kings and queens. All of us. There are many mansions in heaven, and we could create heaven on earth, because we have the sun giving us energy, we have the waves giving us energy, we have the earth giving us food, clean food. Organic is the way to go. Green is the way to go. There is a political solution. We have to go green.
Well,
we have to. We've got to transition.
Let me go ahead and just say, I mean, I feel what you're talking about, but yeah, I mean, so long as we have POSs who think they're gods in control, that kind of stuff is going to happen. But we got to drain the swamp. We need to flush the toilet. I would
think they only have power over us if we can. We are the 99%, literally.
That's what I'm saying.
We actually have to empower ourselves.
We have to take ourselves.
We are very powerful. And it doesn't take many. This is the point. This is the double end. Evil empires are at their most vulnerable when they think they are the most powerful. That is when they fall. Pride will fall.
And I know all about that.
It just takes enough people to maintain the moral high ground.
Thank you for being a guest on the show, Mike.
It's a pleasure.
And, hey, I mean, you don't have to cram everything in now. You can always come back on the show, man.
Yeah,
okay. So just...
We've got plenty to talk about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I want to meet you. You're a good brother. You're a fine spirit. I can see you.
Stay cool. I just want you to keep your cool head and keep writing those articles and keep telling the truth. Let's keep fighting for the truth. And let's fight for freedom. People, it's time to get off your butts and do something.
Citizen journalism is where it's at, because you will not get the truth off the mainstream media. What you get off the mainstream media is, here's a little bit of what we want you to know, followed by the Kardashians, the weather, and the football.
Exactly. So yes, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore TV show. I'm Gillespie, and catch me next week.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she going to say?
Next time, we're going to feel hardcore. Keep it real. Take her red pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and you hear the lamentation of your women. That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.